Welcome to the Change Your World Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you Ms. Catherine White. Catherine, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya, and thank you to everyone who's listening. I appreciate the time that you took out of your busy evenings to be here tonight. And I hope that I have some good information that you will find helpful, and you can connect with me afterwards if you like. It was about a quarter to five when I woke, about an hour before my alarm was to go off. So I closed my eyes, trying to go back to sleep, when I noticed a faint beeping. I didn't think much of it at first. I figured it was just the beeping from a construction truck as it was driving in reverse, you know, the little warning beep that they send off. Then suddenly, just out of nowhere, the thought hit me, fire alarm. I bolted out of my bed and ran to the stairway. About halfway up, I noticed smoke billowing toward me. Oh my gosh, my house is on fire. In a quick instant, several thoughts flooded my mind. Did I leave the stove on last night? Wait, no, I didn't use the stove last night. This can't be real. This has got to be a nightmare. This kind of thing doesn't happen to me. This happens to other people, but not to me. On the morning of May 24th, 2014, my world was turned upside down as my four children, my sister who lived with me, and I instantly became homeless. My life filled with chaos. Helplessness, desperation, sadness, and fear set in as I sorted through the remains of my burned home and struggled to put my life back together. I will liken this literal fire that I went through to the trials that we all face in our life. I'm sure most of you have not experienced the loss of your home to fire, but I know each of you have had your own fires that you face, or your own trials. Maybe you have faced divorce. You've mourned the death of a loved one. You've cried over the choices of a rebellious child, struggled through the loss of a job, battled illnesses, and the list can go on and on. These are the fires that you face. Some of our fires are small and cause little damage, and they're easy to overcome, but sometimes we are faced with fires that are catastrophic, and we don't believe that we can survive. What do you do when fires come billowing through your life? Do you sit and watch, waiting for it to eventually extinguish itself, hoping to not be harmed in the process? Do you run, trying to escape while the fire continues to burn and grow bigger? Or do you act quickly and take the proper steps to fight the fire and put it out? Stand up with courage until you are able to put it out. Omar N. Bradley, a United States Army field commander in North Africa and Europe during World War II, said, "This is as true in everyday life as it is in battle. We are given one life, and the decision is ours, whether to wait for circumstances to make up our mind or whether to act, and in acting, to live." On that morning, I chose to stand up and put out the fire. No, I don't mean that I took it upon myself and I literally put out this enormous fire with my own two hands. I left that up to the professionals from the fire department. But I acted immediately to get my children and myself out of the home, and I called for help. But once the flames were extinguished, my fire wasn't over yet. This literal fire I experienced was the beginning of many more fires or challenges which I faced. But I survived the fire just as I continue to survive other trials that come into my life. So today, my topic is surviving the fires of life. And my goal is to give you hope during your suffering, to help you find your inner strength to endure the fires and to survive the fires that you are faced with in your life. My goal is to teach you how to use your trials as a catalyst for personal growth and for new beginnings. So I'm going to share with you 8 steps that I went through to overcome my personal fires and to get my life back in order. You too can use these steps as you are faced with various trials in your life to help you to not only survive your fires, but also to thrive once they are conquered. Step number one, I allowed myself to be emotional. When we are hit with challenges, a lot of emotions can flood our mind. Fear, worry, concern, stress, feeling overwhelmed, anger. But for me, the emotions didn't set in right away because as soon as I realized my house was on fire, I immediately went into survival mode. And my concern was to make sure my family was safe. And of course, for that, I was most grateful that we all made it out okay. But once things calmed down, the reality of what happened set in, and I began to realize the magnitude of the damage caused by the fire, namely the loss of the items that could never be replaced, such as family photographs, videos of my children when they were young. That's when I broke down and I sobbed. When reality set in that I didn't have a home for my children anymore, I grew worried. The added responsibilities placed on me with an already full plate as a single mother brought stress, and I became extremely overwhelmed. Over the course of the next several weeks, I experienced many moments of discouragement and frustration. But I allowed myself to feel those emotions. I allowed myself to cry. I allowed myself to feel anger, concern. So when you go through your trials, remember that part of healing is being able to allow yourself to feel the pain. Allow yourself to be angry if you need to be. Do it in a healthy way. Make sure that you're not harming somebody else in the meantime, whether physically or emotionally. But allow yourself to feel those emotions. If you try to bury your feelings, they will only fester and turn into something worse. So the second thing I did was I found an outlet. Actually, fortunately, I had several outlets. You need to have an outlet where you can let out those emotions, where you can express those emotions. For me, I had my sweetheart, a sweet man who I was dating at the time and am currently married to, my best friend. And he was my source where I could go to vent, where I could cry and have a shoulder to cry on. I worked with a life coach to help me clear my mind of all the chaos and to help me reorganize my life. I, too, am a life coach. But even as a life coach, I needed a little guidance and a little help to get me through the situation. Just as a doctor sometimes has an illness where he needs help from a doctor, as a life coach, sometimes I need help from a life coach. I pushed myself to exercise. Prior to the fire, I had this little mini gym set that I just absolutely loved. I had a special room that I had it in, and I followed a regular exercise routine. But all my equipment was destroyed in this fire. And exercising became a struggle, not only because I no longer had my equipment, but because mentally I just had a hard time getting in the mode of wanting to exercise and finding the time with all the other chaos that was going on. But I pushed myself to do it, even if it meant getting up early in the morning and going for a jog out in the middle of the rain. I got some exercise. And that's important because exercise is not only good for keeping us in shape, but it is also a wonderful outlet because it helps us release stress. So when you're in the middle of your trials, find a trusted friend to lean on. Work with a professional coach or counselor, or join a support group, and be sure to get exercise. Number three, I got up and I pulled myself out of bed every day even when I didn't feel like it. Believe me, there were days where I wish I could have just stayed in bed and just sulked in self-pity. And it's easy to get caught in that trap of sulking in our misery. But doing so is very damaging, and it can lead to depression. So when you don't feel like doing something that you normally do or you know you need to do, then that's a sign that something's not right. And that's when you know you need to get up and do it the most. Don't allow yourself to stay in bed and wallow in self-pity. Get up and get moving. And if you have trouble pushing yourself, find someone who will help give you a push. Number four, I simplified my life where possible. As I became overwhelmed, I realized I needed to let some things go. And that's not easy for me because I am a doer. I like to stay busy, and I always have a full plate. But this was a time where I just mentally could not handle everything on my plate, and I just had to let things go. So I prioritized. I took a look at the things that weren't really that important or weren't really urgent, and they didn't need immediate attention, and I took those off my plate temporarily. I packed them away to come back to later. So when you're in the middle of your fires, take an assessment of your life and your responsibilities. Think about, what do you need to do now? What can you put away for later? Get rid of the things that you don't need at all and set aside the things that you don't need to do right now. Make temporary adjustments to your life, to your schedule. Be flexible and be organized. Number five, I accepted help. That's not always easy for me. I'm an independent person. I'm self-reliant. I get in and I get things done. But once again, this was a time where emotionally it was too hard. So I realized that I needed help. Fortunately, there were many, many sweet, caring individuals that pulled together in support to provide a place for my family and I to stay and to make sure we were clothed and fed. There were many of these people that we had never even met before. They had no idea who we were. And I was just amazed at the generosity of the people in the community and different organizations and my children's school. And it was good to see that in a world that we have so many problems, that there are a lot of good people out there still. And there were a lot of people that came to my aid, and they helped clean and sort through the ashes and do the things that I just couldn't do on my own. I didn't have time to do as a full-time working single mother. So keep in mind, there are many wonderful people willing to help. When you're feeling as though life is beating you down, accept that help. Don't try to go through your trial alone. Let others go through it with you. Number six, I offered service to others in need. So as I received many blessings and donations, there were things that I didn't need or things that I had extra of, and I would turn around and I would find somebody else who was in need, and I would take my blessings and bless them with those. And it felt good to be able to bless these people. I also sought out others who needed something that I had to offer, some kind of help, or maybe driving them because I have a vehicle and they don't. But when we help others, our minds are taken off of our own problems. And we usually find someone who's worse off than we are. So find someone who is in need of your help, and you won't feel like your trials are as bad. Number seven, I fed my soul. I am a member of a religious affiliation. And I have things that I do on a regular basis as part of that, part of my faith. But it can be very easy when life gets tough to put that part of your life on a side burner. But I made sure that I remained active in my church and active in my faith. And I read motivational, uplifting material, listened to uplifting music, things that would help me build myself up and not have to think about the things that were going on in my life that I was struggling with. I surrounded myself with people who are the most important in my life, namely my family. And I took time to do something for myself that I love to do. And my favorite hobby is going out dancing with my sweetheart. And I took time to do a little bit of that. So when you're feeling life is knocking you down, feed your soul. Do something for yourself. Explore new hobbies. Surround yourself with good people. And fill your mind with uplifting information. Fill your life with positivity. Which takes me to number 8. I looked for the positive in my circumstances and gave thanks for the things that I had. John F. Kennedy stated, when written in Chinese, the word crisis is composed of two characters. One represents danger and the other represents opportunity. I thought that was just an amazing quote. The word crisis in Chinese represents danger and opportunity at the same time. Isn't that incredible? And the truth is, crisis leads to opportunity. As I learned to navigate through the chaos I went through after my fire, and I began to find peace once again in my life, I was able to think more clearly. And that's when I began to look for the positive. So you may not be able to find the positive right off the bat as soon as you get hit with this fire, but if you go through the previous 7 steps, you can get yourself mentally to a position where you can start to look at, okay, what is the positive in this? And what I do is I ask myself these 2 questions. What can I learn from this experience? And how can I use my experience to help someone else? And as I pondered these questions through my situation, although this was the first time that I had been affected by a real fire, I realized it was not the first fire I had felt within myself. That's when it hit me that the trials we all face in life are like our own individual fires. And I decided at that point that I needed to take on a new direction with my coaching business so that I could use my experience to help others through their internal fires. And I'd have to say many wonderful opportunities have come my way as a result of my fire. And had it not been for that experience that I went through, I wouldn't be where I am today. I probably wouldn't even be on this call at this moment. So as you go through your own struggles, look for the positive. Ask yourself, what can I learn and how can I use this experience to help somebody else? Because there is someone out there that is going to need you. Be sure to give thanks daily for all that you have, no matter how much or how little. And when I went through my fire, through all the chaos and the stress, I was able to understand and realize how grateful and how fortunate I was that everyone in my family made it safely out of that home. So when you're going through your individual fires or trials, remember to allow yourself to be emotional. Find an outlet. Pull yourself up out of bed every day. Simplify your life where possible. Accept help from others. offer service to someone else in need. Feed your soul and look for the positive. We most often see the destruction caused by fire. However, fire can be a catalyst for change and new growth. For example, in a forest fire, old debris is burned, making room for new growth, as the heat from the fire causes the cones to explode, dropping new seeds on the forest floor. So fire is a difficult thing. It's a scary thing. The trials that we go through are scary, but they can be that catalyst for growth and new beginnings in our lives. And on sciencebuzz.org, it reads, the forest fires of today lead to the forests of tomorrow. Likewise, the trials that we face today lead to the person that we become tomorrow. As we build strength and we build character and we grow into more than what we are today. So I would like to thank you, Tanya, for having me on this call, and thank you for everyone who listened. Feel free to check out my blog at www.survivingthefire.com or connect with me on Facebook. You can find me at facebook.com/survivingthefire. Shoot me a quick message and let me know that you participated in the Change Your World Summit, and you'll receive a complimentary breakthrough coaching session with me. And I hope to hear from you soon. Thank you.